Everything else versus Bitcoin essentially gets spent and dies.
I want to be able to have reactive security. And I think Opvault is today the most straightforward, easiest to use way to do that.
I will not be insulted by a clockmaker.
Overall, these kind of ways to make the network easier to both build on and interact with, I think is a really big deal.
If Bitcoin existed when we started Twitter, we would not have to go down the ad model path. I mean, as simple as that.
Integrating Lightning into a social network is the killer app.
Hello, and welcome to the Bitcoin.review podcast, where we explore developments and projects with the people who actually make them happen. The show is supported by Pod 2.0, Sat Streaming, and CoinKite. If you're a new listener, I'm NVK. I run CoinKite, where we've been helping people secure their Bitcoins for over a decade. We make the cold card and fun products like the Block Clock. You can find more information about it on CoinKite.com. Hello, and welcome back to the Bitcoin Review podcast. In a long enough timeline, everyone becomes a podcaster. And we also compete with Big Pharma as a sleeping aid. So today I have with me Mr. Ben Carman.
Yo, yo, good to be back, everyone.
Mr. Kali.
What's up? Good to be back.
And repeat guest all the time, Mr. Pablo.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you all.
And guys, I've been a little disconnected from the news, but the updates keep on coming and we keep on shipping. So, housekeeping. Bitcoin Treasuries now has a new distribution chart. You can know the difference between, you know, like ETFs versus private companies and stuff right at the home top there. Unleash.chat, we hit 2,000 users. Can you believe this, Pablo? 2,000 people.
Jesus, man.
It's pretty cool.
What is Unleash.chat?
I still remember when a few months ago you were like, this AI is all bullshit. There's no... You were like, this is all bullshit. There's nothing here.
Right? And it's pretty cool. Apparently, there is a market for uncensored AI models with privacy. Go figure. And it's stats only, right? Haven't even put the credit card solution there yet, which is kind of cool. We actually released a few updates on that too. It's on version 0.1.14. There is a new model. We have a Mixtral, but it's like the Dolphin version, I think, the other one. And then this one, I think it's a little more censored than the other one, but this one is better for code. Is the Mixtral 8x7 billion? You can occasionally convince it to ignore its morals. It's very hard. Like a lot of people don't know this, but essentially, like all the people who build models from scratch, it's like big, well-funded entities because it costs a fucking fortune, right? In both devs and GPU time. And then what the folks do is we grab the models and we untrain them for the woke shit and for everything else, right? And it's hard because it's like trying to, you know, imagine a kid has been, you know, institutionalized for, you know, 12, 13 years. And then you're trying to convince it that like it's okay to do something else. So that's why people still see some censorship or some woke bullshit when they do use the models. But for the non-cultural things like, you know, reviewing code and things like that, it's like amazing. So that's something.
If you ask it to create a branch, does it use master or main?
That's funny. I have my...
You didn't answer, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I haven't asked it. But I have changed my GitHub defaults to always create masters for all my organizations. We're on the master standard.
You can do that?
Yeah. You don't have to rename it every time.
You need to drop this alpha at the end of the episode, MBK.
If you have an enterprise account on GitHub, you can mandate enterprise-wise that the default branch is master. It's like even better. What else? You can faster upload files. So when we process your GitHub repos or whatever you upload is faster now. And we fixed some bugs. And anyways, Next is importing time series data and then block data. Working on that. That'll be pretty cool. So maybe we can get ahead of chain analysis. Anyways, next on the housekeeping is Barbecue R. Barbecue R is our public domain standard for QR codes. It's better for PSPTs, 30% better. We are adding a PSPT to QR, to Barbecue QR, right on the website. So we're creating a JavaScript version of it. So if your client wallet doesn't have it yet, you can just put the PSPT on this local JavaScript and it creates the Barbecue QR for you on screen and you can just scan it. It's quite great that way. So yeah, we're going to make QRs better even if we have to force it.
I hear Craig is going to add it to Sparrow any day now. So
yeah, he will. Yeah, he understands logic and he knows that it's better. So
what is it using fountain codes right now? I mean, yeah, fountain codes is this other standard for animated QR codes to.
Yeah, the UR2 is, and it's very unfortunate. It's one of those situations where it's like the first standard is shit, but it's the first standard. So we have to fix it. It's too early. We're going to fix it. It's so much better. It respects QRs. The other standard is a QR disrespecter. Ben, have you played a Barbecue QR yet?
Not yet, but we're like about to venture down this path in Mutiny, like trying to add animated QRs for like Federation stuff. So maybe we skip all that bullshit and use this.
Keep all that bullshit. This is actually good.
Yeah.
It's very light on dependencies as well. That was part of the problem. We're like, there is absolutely no fucking way we're going to add all these dependencies to a hardware wallet. No. It's very hardware friendly, right? Like in terms of the other standard, you actually have to keep the full word list in memory twice. Like, dude, it's like, no.
What is the other standard?
UR2.
UR2, and that is used for PSPTs, yeah?
Yeah.
But it's animated, or is it like one big fat code?
It's a bunch of crap. Like, it's just like a few libraries. They're redoing checksums with a new, like, it's, I mean, like, you know, lovely that people try to create things. But, you know, this is a software podcast, so we get to shit on standards. I mean, that's, you know, it's not a cultural shit on. It's a technical one. So, yeah, we hard typed PSPTs, so you get even more savings. Ben, I think that you'll be very welcome to have a PR there if you want to hard type something else for eCash or for whatever you do.
I think it's all base64, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. What we do, too, is that, like, if it's below 4 bytes, for example, we just show a standard QR. We don't make it complicated. You know, like, basic shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's public domain, so do whatever you want. All right. Kali, are you involved with eNuts?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm following the development. I know the developer and so on. I haven't coded it myself. I'm just a user and a bug reporter, basically.
It's a really good app. I know we're not at the L3 part of the show yet.
Yeah, not yet.
But I've been using it and I've been giving my nuts to people.
I hope not unsolicitedly.
Oh no, some 100% unsolicited a nut giving. It was great.
Yeah, eNuts is super polished, great app, and I use it like with 15 different mints or something. So it's a proper wildcat, small amounts on different mints. Works really great.
I had not used Cashew in like a little while, and I noticed that now the apps recognize the mint, so you don't have to set up anything. Like, dude, it's like mind-blowing. Like, because that was the hang-up, right? Like, you had to know the mint and, you know, add it and, like, oh, how did you guys... Fuck it. This is going to be the eNuts, the Cashew episode. Did you guys change the spec so you could have the mint information on the token?
Yes, the mint information is inside the token. So you can receive a token for the first time and immediately your wallet, like eNuts will ask you, if you don't know the mint, it will ask you, hey, do you know this mint? Do you trust it? And even if you don't trust it, it will allow you to just melt the token via Lightning into your trusted mint. So you don't even have to trust the mint. If someone sends you a token from a different mint, then it will just automatically basically fall back to a Lightning payment.
Jesus. Yeah, one of the persons that I sent, I was giving my nuts, my free nuts, to, immediately after sent me an invoice to fund a new mint. So like, people are just getting it. Like, it's it feels like the thing that replaces Lightning for commerce. It really has that vibe. Very efficient.
It's like Wallet Satoshi, but
yes,
private. And then Fedimint makes it like more secure. It's beautiful.
We're gonna get Milian on the standard, and we're gonna have it on Primo, and then we win.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I saw it. It's in its backlog.
And it's way faster. Like when you're
It's like the it's like a bare token, right? Like,
yeah,
there is no, it's a valid token, it's an invalid token. Like, there is no chain.
The speed of light is the limit.
Yeah,
I mean, you still have to communicate with the server when you receive it, but if it's locked to your pub key, then you don't even need to do that. Then the speed of light is literally the limit for a transaction that cannot be double spent. It's fucking crazy.
And also, you get, you know, like when you're designing an application that uses this, comparing to Lightning, that you're going to send a payment, and with Lightning, it might get stuck. You might hit a whole invoice all of a sudden, and you get wrecked. Like, you get fucked. Like, there is nothing you can do around that UX to fix it. Whereas with this, you know what to expect.
No, I mean, like, you're literally sending a bare instrument as a zap. I mean, that would be, like, spectacular.
Yeah.
like, absolutely insanely awesome. The only gripe I have with it is that the token data is quite large. It'll be very good for barbecue QRs because we can, if you hard type it, you can reduce by about, say, 20-30% just on a single one, right? So you might not even need 20 mate.
Yeah, this is some research that we've been even doing, like quantitatively. How many tokens do you need on average if you make a payment from two and just randomly sampled and so on? What we can do is, in principle, we can do half, 50% we can shave off just by optimizing and doing binary encoding.
Yes.
But for now, we still opted to easy, stupid JSON Base64. You can build a cache wallet without any single dependency except for SecP.
Right.
And that was the goal. And so for now, it's super inefficient, but we still need animated QR codes in either case. Even if you do it super efficiently, you still need animated QRs. So it's not such a pain, but I think eventually we'll get there with the binary encoding.
No, I mean, you know, that like everybody who's grown up in computer science understands that eventually you need a binary protocol, right? Like, you can start with the JSON shit so that you get all the web devs to start like playing with it. But then eventually you have to have the binary option because, you know, the savings are just insane, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell that to Noster devs. They get mad.
No, you know, I have actually, I have bothered Fiat Jeff, like, you know, like on a weekly basis. But like originally was binary, but again, he wanted to make it very easy for like web JavaScript devs, right, to build on Noster. That's why they changed to JSON. But you know, it wouldn't surprise me in a few years, like the option is there on how you interact with it.
I think it's a very good pathway for software in general, open source software, to choose the accessible part.
Yes.
Because you need people to actually work on it. It doesn't really make sense if it's super efficient, but it's very hard.
It's the web dev gap.
Yes, but we are many.
The JavaScript dev gap.
Yes, exactly. You want those people around, you want those people on your project.
Yeah.
This is what makes Noster amazingly, you know, flourishing. And the same with Cashew. It's just stupid, easy. You get the right amount of, you know, dopamine when you implement it. Every couple of hours, you reach the next step. And then there is an app, right? And
you know, and it's so funny because like, it is so easy for a client to detect like JSON versus like binary, right? So, like, you know, there's not going to be compatibility problems, and it can gracefully degrade, right? Very easily as well. And then everybody copies each other too, right? So it's like, yeah, it's a natural path. I think we can get there. But I am very offended when I see non-binary QR codes. Very offended. It's like it is a disrespect to the QR standard, which is like one of the most beautiful optimized standards ever created. And then people go and they serialize shit on top of it. And then like they make the QRs like 50 times bigger than they need to be.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Good cameras make weak men. Weak men make inefficient QR codes. Inefficient QR codes make...
NBK, the social justice warriors are going to clip that section where you were saying that you get triggered when you see the non-binary ones. I'm going to feel it.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be great. It's as somebody puts it, I am the gall and naivete of NBK. I bought the domain.
That's kind of a beautiful poem.
Of course.
Go and naivete with and without accidents redirect to barbecueqr.org.
Oh, speaking of QRs, I just want to do a 5-second flame. Like an hour ago, someone sniped away the domain cashew.cash away from me. If you hear this,
oh no,
fuck you. You did it like, and I was there. You know who you are. Just give it back.
Not cool, man. Really, not cool. You should, well, first of all, when you guys create new projects, let me know. And I'll get all the domains before it's public. Okay? And then we redirect everything to the actual project. Yeah, seriously. Like, the domain game of creators is just really poor.
Yeah.
And then that's what happens. You get, like, assholes that takes over. That happened to Bitcoin. Anyways.
Well, that happened to Bitcoin. So whoever you are as bad as Craig.
That's right. You're dead to us. You can also call the person out if you want. I am not offended.
No, I don't know who they are.
Oh, okay.
But it was in public chat. It happened an hour ago, literally.
Wow. Fuck, man, that's brutal.
That's pathetic.
You missed the 30 days renew?
No. It was free domain. Someone posted, hey, this is free. I'm like, I'm going to get this. And while it was there, I pushed it into my checkout. And when I pressed it, it was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's pathetic.
Sorry, it's enuts.com or no? It's
cashew.cash.
Brutal. You know what they could do is you can rug him by changing the name of the project.
Well, yeah, I told him he's going to be sued by the Saudi company, which is also called Cashew. So have fun getting sued in Saudi Arabia.
There you go. All right. Vulnerability disclosures. Linux being secure is a common misconception in the security and privacy realm. Linux is thought to be secure primarily because of its source model. Popular usage in servers, small user base, and confusion about its security features. So yes, this is a fantastic write-up. Fantastic write-up. Showing bit by bit why Linux is not secure and why everybody's confused about it. And then the Linux influencers get everybody on it. And then everybody's less secure because of that. I highly recommend people go read this write-up. It was really spectacular. And if you care about security, use FreeBSD.
Is this more applying to like servers and like personal desktop computers or just like everything?
It's everything.
Oh, man.
It's like... You know, it's what the FreeBSD folks been saying forever, but like somebody actually took the time to really go through it. It's deep. It's really is the bazaar versus the cathedral model problem, which is like, you know, the bazaar is great to see new things being built, right? It's great for integrations. It's great for flourishing of ideas. But, you know, when it comes to security, the cathedral wins, right? Like, It's you know, it's more shit to review. It's, yeah. I always joke that, like, you know, the best way to understand what Linux is trying to do a microphone to work with the laptop.
Yeah, have fun installing your sound driver.
That's right. While FreeBSD doesn't even come with drivers, so that helps. It's secure.
No sound.
It doesn't come with keyboard drivers. You know, it doesn't come with anything. Okay. All right. Public disclosure of a block stalling bug in Bitcoin Core affecting Lightning? No, Lightning. I have not reviewed this one. It's new to me. Have you guys looked at this vulnerability?
It seems like one of those where it's like you're basically either like preventing blocks or, you know, something that's like, you know, letting blocks come into your Bitcoin Core node at the correct time. So you'd like either like get them to like look at the wrong version of the network or like they're just looking at a late version or something. So it's not the best, but they said no one, like, you know, it's a pretty hard attack to pull off. And they said most likely no one lost funds.
Cool. All right. Bitcoin software releases. Code Card Q. Yes, we shipped this one. The betas are out. Have you guys gotten one yet? I don't know who's on that first.
No, but congrats. Look sexy as fuck.
Yeah, it's we had a nice little video. It was the best highly rated ads on Super Bowl. People loved it. They watched the Super Bowl again just to see that ad. And we are on now version 0.05 of that. Until we merge, we're going to merge with Master of Mark IV because it's the same architecture. So you're going to have single code base with you know, make deploy to each of the just different hardware. Very, very minute differences there. And we're fixing all the bugs. Then once the bugs are fixed, then we start shipping the list because we're manufacturing them as we speak. There was a great bug that Dee found. The keyboard scramble had a bug. So if you were in, you were essentially locked out.
Oh, no.
Because you couldn't log in to turn off the keyboard scramble. So yeah, that was a classic, you know, that's the hardware that changed bug. It, you know, the security is still there because it's the same, but the input changed. Some good ones. There should be another release today or tomorrow. I think we're just like 2-3 days away from being fully comfortable with the boot, because the bootloader didn't change much. And that's the part you cannot upgrade in the field. So I don't want to start shipping devices and people are going to be very mad if I need to change the bootloader.
They're going to be mad anyway, so.
Yeah, but there is bricked mad and then there is non-bricked mad. You know, this list is like I'm sending it for free, so I don't feel bad. Yeah, we're sending more devices out. Find the bugs. Let us know about the bugs. All right. Libwally Core version 1.2.0. They added Python 3.12 wheels to binary releases, PyPy. They changed a bunch of other stuff. Nunchuck Android version 1.9.40. Twitter announcement added the ability to cancel an already broadcast transaction via RBF. So you just re-RBF, I guess, or just remove from the list, maybe. Options to get derivation pass for each address, single only, and then they added more features to their paid version. Blue Wallet version 6.5.4 add don't allow macOS app to run if OS is unsupported. And the other version is trigger haptic feedback for copy private key. There is a bug. I can't remember if it's iOS or Mac that Apple will eventually fix, hopefully, where they are making a binary change to data written to external drives. So the checksums don't match. Not great. That's really annoying.
I experienced that before. I was like terrified. I like downloaded a wrong binary. Yeah.
Yes. I had that with the firmware. I wrote the firmware to a micro SD card and then the binaries were not matching. I'm like, no, what's going on here?
Is that a bug or is that a feature?
No, it's a it's a major bug. Because, you know, like if you write to any drive or any volume, right, the checksum need to match. Like that's kind of the whole point. Apparently, some people had all their backups fried because the checksums were not matched. It was a disaster.
And what does it add? Like it adds one byte or what does it do?
No, it just, don't know, changes it. Like, you know, you can't tell, right? Because the file size is the same, everything is the same. So you just change something.
Wow.
You know, it's corruption, right? Like you just, the data is corrupt on write. Like it's not, like, that used to happen back in the day a lot with like all file systems, like long ago, right? It's just we forgot what they look like. And it's weird because like Macs are using their own version of like ZFS-ish. It's like they have a very robust file system. It's like really good. But, you know, bugs happen. I just hope they fix it soon. Because other people who check signatures are going to be very disappointed. AgoraDask version 1.1.18 and 0.19 updated price formulas, added icon for payment methods. Zaprite dashboard analytics, income summary section, BTC received. They updated a bunch of stuff and they added credit cards too via Square, via Block, formerly Square. All right, Blockstream Green, Android 4.0.24. They added Greenlight logs. I don't see any PSBT, so I'm not going to mention the rest. No update mentions until I see PSBT.
Do I see 2FA SMS there in the updates?
That's
yikes.
Yeah, no. Come on, guys. You guys are cypherpunks. Correct the direction.
All your phone numbers are belong to me.
That's right. All right. BTC Map Android, they updated a bunch of stuff. Umbro OS version 1.0, that's a big announcement, 1.0. They 5 times faster versus Raspberry Pi. No, guys, let's move to ROC 64. Oh, uses new in... No, that's the Raspberry Pi. Or they allow you to use this this other Intel chipset. Cool.
They have hardware, right? This could be it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Well, their hardware is faster than a Raspberry Pi, but that's...
In a long enough timeline, everybody recognizes the hardware that the Raspberry Pis are a unsecure, closed piece of shit that should not be used and is more expensive than a lot of other things that are much better. It's just, for some reason, people need to go through the Raspberry Pi pain.
Yeah, getting 2x faster than a Raspberry Pi 5 isn't... It's not that much. It's like... You need like 10x for something to actually be usable.
Yes. Well, you know, Broadcon, they'll make you suffer as you... it's like literally the most evil hardware company on the planet. Like, this doesn't get worse than that. Like, it's like, you know, I love that people use Raspberry Pis with their, you know, Pixel Graphene OS phones while shitting on Apple, but, you know, supporting Broadcon. You know, it's... It's very confusing to me. Anyways, have fun supporting your company that supports dictatorships. BitScript. Project Spotlight. BitScript, your bridge to building on Bitcoin. Browser-based Bitcoin script integrated development environment. Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is sexy. I was waiting for this one actually to pop up. I think this is an IDE for Bitcoin script.
Oh, I see.
And we don't have many good tools for Bitcoin script wizards out there. I think like I know two or so. And this is, I think, another one in the toolbox. So definitely if you're interested in Bitcoin script and how to write scripts, then check this out. Looks very cool.
Nice. I thought for a second there was like, you know, like real transaction stuff on the browser. I'm like...
They got there's like a Bitcoin RPC and stuff as well, like caching, deserializing transactions. That's really nice.
Yeah. Avalon Nano 3, a portable small heater that can generate Bitcoin. That's awesome.
I want that.
Yeah. Flash. Accept payments in Bitcoin on your store, platform, or any other content. Receive payments instantly. Okay.
These guys, the main thing I know about them is they added like Nostr Wallet Connect as one of the options for, I think, like the receiver. So you could like hook up like your Albi over, like Albi or Mutiny or anything over NWC. And then the payments go like right to your own wallet instead of like going to, you know, like Wall Satoshi or something.
Cool. Wait, so, okay. So it's kind of like just like an invoicing system, right? Kind of like Zaprite or whatever. You still require a node solution on the back.
Yeah.
Like they don't actually handle the money. They just create invoices.
Yeah, exactly. But they're like, you know, they're trying to be on the cutting edge with other stuff to like make that better.
Yeah. I feel like the value prop for all these solutions like needs to include some one-click node kind of thing. Otherwise, it's, you know.
There's no moat. Yeah.
No, I mean, no. The invoicing part is the easiest part.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the part that everybody who has a shop can do if they can code. The problem is managing the node, which is like a, you know, full-time business.
Yeah, but then you open the door to like BTC Pay server, which is like, if you open that door, BTC Pay server is already a really good complex solution that takes care of a bunch of things, but it is a big door, right?
Yeah, it's the full door in .NET.
It's a full door. It's a full house.
It's a full house in .NET. Is there an alternative that's not .NET? I don't know. There used to be some stuff, but...
You can use LMBits, for example, as an on-chain and Lightning also checkout experience in that sense. So similar to BTC Pay.
Oh, shit. Thanks for reminding me. I think I have some nuts in an LMBits link wallet thing from like, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. I don't know when.
Here we go. Don't forget your nuts.
Here we go.
No one else will be able to restore them if you lose them.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully I can remember the link. Great. All right. Privacy software, Simplex, chat, version 5.5.3. They adds forward compatibility with the future releases of SMB, XFP, XFTP relays and notification servers. Cool. It's a great project.
We've been using it here in Madeira, and it's a shit show. It's not very good on reliability, but I commend the effort for what they're trying.
I mean, this is the problem with the trade-offs, right? Like, when you actually have privacy and security, like the real deal for comms, like, it's very hard to do that with, like, you know, like, iMessage sort of UX,
mm-hmm.
You know? But one cool thing that I like about them is that they let you turn off some of the tinfoil. So the... Essentially, like, as you turn off things, it's still, like, a million times more private and more secure than everything else. But you get closer to a better experience. You know, for example, notifications, right? And the reason why I'm not using right now is because when I was migrating phones, I lost my keys. I had a key accident.
Another key accident?
Another key accident. I have key accidents often.
Sure.
Because I actually test the stuff. And I am not ready to create a new key until I know that, like, you can do those things a little bit less risky. And I need syncing between desktop and phone. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I need multi-device syncing. Otherwise, I can't use it. Like, sorry. On the good side, though, is, like, I doubt that Signal is going to launch the usernames before.
Never.
SimpleX gets there with a better UX. So,
if anything, they'll require more KYC.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal because, like, they fundraised from good people who had that expectation, right? And then they didn't deliver. That's pretty shitty. But yeah,
it's such an obvious ask. It's so weird that they don't do it. It's like so strange. I can't compute a good reason not to do it.
It's the spooks. Like, I mean, like.
it's like so clearly spooks.
You know, I'm not saying that they are spooks, but, like, you know, maybe somebody there, like, got the, you know, like, come on, like, you know, it's, somebody wants that phone graph. But one thing that's interesting, though, that I've noticed is that you notice this with technology, right? Like, when the spooks stop applying pressure in one point, it's because they have another door, right? So you notice that, like, you know, all the apps now can have encryption for privacy and all this shit because, like, they're like, you know what, fuck it. We have Broadcom, you know, basebands in all the phones. Why don't we just read the RAM? Like, why are we bothering people? We can see it anyways, right? So, you know.
That's the spirit.
You know, like, you know, and then the kids now have graphene. They think they're, like, super private, right? And, like, the dude at the NSA just, like, full RAM. Like, dude, like, your phones are not secure or private. You know what I mean? Like, you know, can you imagine, like, if a state actor is going to let Apple do the private iCloud thing if they don't have a backdoor?
No way.
Come on. You know? Anyways, it's just cute. Moving on. Project Spotlight. Pair runtime by Hole Punch. Okay. Lightning plus L2 plus L3 plus L2 plus.
Let's stop on the pair runtime for a second.
Oh, sure.
So this is the basic, the Hole Punch stuff that Kit is, they say it's work, based on. It's closed source, so we can't tell, but they say it's based on that. The whole idea is like protocol that is peer-to-peer, like fully peer-to-peer. It used to be called HyperCorus, and it's based on that technology. I think Tether basically just acquired the team that was working on HyperCorus for a really long time. It's cool. It's super interesting. The main problem I have with it is that it's not a protocol. It's an SDK, basically. If I asked for the specs for the protocol, and they told me, well, just read the code, and that is the protocol, which is, I mean, it kind of worked for Bitcoin, but...
Supply-based solutions versus demand-based solutions. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very cool, but I just have a really hard time getting behind something where you are just the user of an SDK and you can't really be sovereign in your usage of the protocol.
Lightning plus L2 plus L3 is also on this. Kali, are you on board now with L3? Are you ready to move on to L3?
Not yet. I'm getting there.
But you're getting close.
I'm getting close. I will let you know once we're there, but I have a good feeling, man. I have a really good feeling.
You know, in a long enough timeline, you know, all projects become L3 plus. Yeah, those fees, man. Those fees will kill you on L2 too. But L3 doesn't have a chain. All right, software releases and project updates. Lightning Protocol dual funding merged.
Nice.
Nifty announced that. Ellen Bits 0.12.1 and 12.0. Kali, do you want to mention anything here?
No, I'm not. I wasn't very much involved with this release, but as far as I know, it's many, many different bug fixes and stability improvements, basically.
Nice. Bugs getting fixed is a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nutshell version 0.15.0.
Hell yeah. So Nutshell is what so-called, how do you say, reference implementation of Cashew. But we have a protocol. It is spelled out. That's why there are two Rust implementations, two Go implementations, and a Python implementation for Mint. And this is the Python one. This upgrade, I've been working for a very long time on this upgrade. It transitions the protocol to our first stable version, which we call V1. The V0, we don't talk about V0 anymore. V0 is dead to us, and it's ugly. But the V1 protocol will allow us to do all sorts of nasty shenanigans, especially also I'm looking forward to what we can do on Noster. It allows you to add multiple payment methods, on-chain, Lightning, Hell credit card, or whatever you can think of. And it supports multiple units per mint. So you can do Satoshis, millisatoshis, nano Satoshis, or USD, or whatever shitcoin you want to support with eCash. So that is the biggest changes in terms of the protocol. The protocol just became more generic and more general with less idiosyncrasy about Lightning. And what else do we have? So most of this, the other stuff is basically improvements, incremental improvements. We are preparing to build Nutshell in a way that you can run it distributedly on a cluster. So the goal is to be able to run a Cashew Mint that runs all around the world on 20 different deployments, and they all use a centralized database such that you can do literally thousands of transactions per second. That's the goal. So to be able to handle thousands of...
How do they find synchrony for the mint?
Well, that's what the database does. The database makes sure that everyone can only write or read and you know only one person can do it. The database locks. But most of the time that you spend on cryptography is basically handled all in the mint. So you can distribute all of that workload to you know support thousands of transactions per second, as long as the database can handle it. And thousands of transactions per second for a database is kind of okay.
So it's a single server for the database, though?
Yeah. So it's not a federated model, not that we understand did it wrong here. It is a distribution of the computer of the service, basically, in order to deploy Cashew on a very large scale.
Do you guys have plans to have an option for federation of the Mint or no?
It is. So I've spent a lot of time looking into this, and I can tell you, like, making the Mint federated is 95% of the effort of writing the Mint. It is so much complexity and work, which makes it even more impressive that FediMint achieved this. But it is a very big decision. So it's not a light change that you can do.
Yeah, no.
And so much of the complexity also in FediMint just goes to having consensus and what happens if one drops out, what happens if you join in, how do you change the members, and like these things are not supported there yet.
Yeah, the usual.
But yeah, no, I don't want to have anything to do with those complexities right now. We're focusing on eCash, trying to get the eCash to the...
Would you say that the concept is to, like, the goal of Nutshell Cashew is to have many mints with smaller amounts versus having bigger mints with, you know, like, bigger amounts? So, like, that would be, like... You know, the opposite. So it's like one has more complexity, but you can have one mint that's bigger because it's federated, while on Cashew, you can just spin up mints because it's so easy, and you have many mints that are smaller with less complexity. Is that sort of the...
Yeah, that is already what's happening. I think that just happens naturally. You can see, I don't know, I know probably 10 to 15 different mints that people run, just Anon's runs that have been there and running well for a long time or for a while. So we can see that happening, but the applicability of Cashew should be able to, you know, I want it to range from the very big to the very small. So very big would be this global deployment distributed on a cluster with 20 servers around the world where you can handle thousands of transactions. Think of a very big bank or whatever who would want to use that. And in the very small case, I think of a single website with just, you know, a couple hundred users that wants to do interactions privately with their users, payments privately. And so you deploy a single mint for a very specific purpose. So, and
now,
yes.
Now, on a more technical sort of point here, you know, can you do MPC on that single key?
Mm. Yeah. I've been thinking, you mean the access to the Bitcoin or the signatures of the mint, the eCash stuff?
The signatures of the mint.
Yeah.
Both, really. But the Bitcoin is whatever you want. But the mint itself for the tokens.
Yeah. I believe what FediMint is doing is something similar. There's something called naive multisig eCash. It's similar to naive Bitcoin multisig. So you basically, instead of coming up with a crazy algorithmic cryptographic scheme for multisig, threshold sig, and so on, you just collect 15 signatures from 15 different federation members. And only if you have 13 out of 15 of these signatures, then the eCash token is valid. So that's the easy way of doing multisig eCash. Obviously, it's less efficient because you need to collect a bunch of signatures for every transaction. But still, the mints need to be in consensus. There still needs to be consensus because mints need to know about each other who gave which signature already. Otherwise, there are a couple of attacks that you can play.
Yeah, you can do the nonce attack on that.
Yeah, exactly. You can do all sorts of shenanigans if the mints are not in consensus. So,
in that scenario, the entity collecting the signatures could broadcast any of the transactions. The enforcement of the 13 or 15 is...
Yeah, so a user, for example, right now, it just talks to a single Cashew mint and gets a single transaction. But in this model, you can think of 5 Cashew mints, all with their own private keys, are in one federation. And if you want to get this multisig eCash, you would have to talk to each of them, get a signature from each of them. And only if you have 5, you can spend it.
So just scaling back here for a sec, because my concern is not so much about, like, mint cheating and members, none of that shit. Like, that's not the point. The point is more like, you know, I have a server with a key in it.
Yeah.
Can I have a 2 out of 3 so that I have 3 servers instead of 1 server, right? Like, doing those signatures for the mint because, you know, servers get hacked. I'm just curious about just de-risking the server, which is still owned by, say, a single entity. So it's not a multi-entity attack surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like key exposure.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So there might be we're not using Schnorr signatures, but it's linear elliptic curve crypto. So it might be possible that you can do something similar as with Schnorr signatures, where you add keys and they again become a new private key.
So kind of like a Frost situation.
That could be. I haven't looked into, the math of it.
Sure.
But I think in those cases, you might want to consider HSM kind of setups where you don't see the key anyway, and you just put the signer into an HSM and it literally just does blind signing and that's it. I think if for a big professional deployment with millions of dollars, you should be doing that right now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. But like even HSMs it's tricky.
Obviously, but I mean, you want to protect the key maybe from your employees or maybe from the naive hacker. So,
yeah. The way you guys are thinking about it is like, if the mint is gone, the meat is gone kind of thing, right? Like, it's like the threshold of money in a mint is probably going to be smaller than the cost of making this too complex. So, if I'm a bank, I might have like, for every $100,000 I'm deploying, I have a new mint with a new key.
Yes, that could be. You could do that. But I think if you are a bank, you can do more hardware security stuff that we're not considering right now. Right now, it's...
Oh, no, banks lose their keys all the time. The problem is that... No, seriously. The problem is they... the solution for them, the reason they don't care is that they can roll back the money, right? Like, they call their banking partner and say, do you know those transactions? Yeah, let's roll back.
Mm.
We got hacked, kind of thing.
Oh, they can always print more. So, who cares?
Exactly, right? No, but really, like, it's... HSMs are not the bonanza people think. But they do, like, it, there's no comparison between, like, a Tails trusted zone thing.
Yeah.
But, as we all know, SGX has been completely owned.
Ecash cannot be really reverted, right?
Yeah.
So once you gave out the tokens, you don't know what they look like. You don't know who owns them.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like, Ecash is in quote unquote non-custodial for the Ecash part.
Well, I know you don't have much to do and your list to do is very small. So just add a feature request, a small one, just let me do a 2 out of 3 on that key.
Okay. So,
and then that's it. I'm sold.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
No, I'm absolutely loving, like, the experience with Vnuts changed everything. Like, it's just
nice. And you should try Minibits if you haven't. It's available for Android only, though. All right. Yeah, Minibits is a bit more paranoid about security and so on, so you might like it. And it's also a very good experience and has Lightning address. So when you shitpost on Noster, I do that all the time. I have a Minibits Lightning address, minibits.cash. And I shitpost, and it's a different wallet, right? You don't just get your balance just doesn't go up because you get zapped in the background. You literally need to receive the eCash before your balance can go up. So you get zapped while you're offline, and when you open Minibits, what it does is literally you see the nuts coming in and the balance slowly going up. Your dopamine is going crazy in your brain, and the best part of it is it receives them via Noster. So these the tokens are waiting there on Noster, waiting for the user to be grabbed. So there's not even a server involved with that.
That's so cool. I mean, this like eCash plus Bitcoin really sort of breaks the paradigm of money. Like it's a whole other thing. Like, it's so cool.
So so in Minibits, the cashew is Noster events, and when you open Minibits here, it just looks for the events, and the nuts are locked to your pub key, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that you get VMs on an ephemeral private key that was generated for just this purpose, basically.
Ah, okay.
So there's a Lightning address and a private key that you, as a user, never see, actually. And when someone sends eCash to that address, there's a server that converts the Lightning payment. Like, it just makes a mint operation for you and sends you the eCash immediately via Noster DM.
Oh, okay. So the sender is sending eCash.
Yes.
And you're receiving as Lightning subs.
The other way around. So the sender is sending via Lightning and you receive eCash in your Noster DMs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You receive real money.
Right. Yeah.
You receive real money. No, but what's cool is that you can be receiving custodial Lightning into eCash tokens.
Yes.
Like full privacy. Like this is amazing. Ben, you've been playing with Fedimint, right? On Mutiny.
Yeah. We've been doing both actually. We've been basically full steam ahead on Fedimint stuff, but then El Nash, who's doing the Go Nuts implementation for Cashew, he started adding Cashew stuff to Mutiny. So we've kind of been doing both now, and it's been fun. It's like trying to go down this DMing rabbit hole as well for the Lightning Address stuff with Fedimint. It's like, it's going to be a shit show. Like, those tokens are so much bigger, but it's been a lot of fun figuring that stuff out.
You know what fixes that? Barbecue QR.
There we go.
Compress everything.
Binary and compress. Boom. Done. Hard type all the things.
This is news to me, by the way, Ben. Like, I didn't know that you guys were playing with Cashew, so it's amazing to hear. Nice.
Yeah, that was like a week ago, but we're about to merge the PR, so it should be in soon. We'll have support for everything, and
Hell yeah.
Ben, your thing is next, but quick question here. When do we get a more native app that is more native?
Like a real native app?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's basically, Paul wants to do it so bad, but like, we have no time.
Fuck Android. Don't bother. Just do one. Just, iPhone is overqualified leads anyways. Just focus on one to start, and then eventually you port it over.
Yeah, we may. I don't know. We probably should relatively soon. We're about to redesign the whole app. And once that's done, then it's like, okay, we can kind of start stabilizing things. So we'll see.
Very cool.
Sounds like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really sounds like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Is it an investor update, Ben?
Yeah. Well, it's going to launch at the conference.
Well, I want to say to that, having not a full native app, obviously, like a full native app is more smooth, more secure, and so on. And with a non-native app where you just have a web browser, something around the web browser, basically, that is the app, you could be wrecked because the company can give you like a malicious update at any moment without you noticing. But you could also be saved in the case of a big critical bug that the company that you maybe trust with the code anyway can give you, push you an update like the next time you open the app. So there's this, I think something, it's good to be aware of it and also about the pros and cons. So that the relationship with the software that you're going in there needs to have that, keep that in mind.
Gotta love the browser, man. Remote execution on your desktop as a service. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's beautiful.
And in JavaScript, why didn't they use Python or something reasonable,
No.
It's like, let's just use this thing that is nor Java, nor a script. it's just, anyways, whatever. All right, Mutiny Node version 0.5.9, go Ben.
Yeah, I mean, kind of giving updates, but yeah, we've been basically just like hardening the app a bunch of like, this update was mostly like me trying to speed up everything. So we got startup like twice as fast and updated all of our dependencies now. It's like latest LDK and BDK. So that was like, just paying down all the tech debt, but we're now that all that stuff's in, it's time to like build all the new features. So we got some new stuff coming soon. That'll be fun.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Mutiny Start OS.
I mean, same thing. We now like on Mutiny, you can host, or now on Start 9, you can host your Mutiny like wallet. So instead of like trusting our like web server, you're trusting your own. And then it also does like the encrypted cloud storage and your WebSocket proxy all there on your own Start 9. So you don't have to talk to us ever. So, if you are that paranoid, you can do that. And I think you can also hook up the native apps to it. It's, it requires like either need like a secure tunnel to get to it, like over Tor or like a VPN or something normally, but there are ways to do it.
Very cool. All right. Torque version 1.5.0. They updated a bunch of stuff. Bitcoin Tribe version 2.4.0. The now try out RGB assets. Get Albi SDK version 3.3.0. 10.10.1. They do a bunch more DLC degen things now. Lots of new features. Loop version 0.27.1-beta. Update it. Lightning Terminal version 0.12.3-alpha. Clams remote version 2.1.0. added Spanish language, Stacker News, waiting for full Nostr integration.
Their NWC integration has been great. I've been loving it. I know no longer need custodial Stacker News and I pay all for my own node.
Yeah, that was the content still custodial.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my Bitcoin's not custodial anymore though, which is nice.
Yes. Project Spotlight, npub.cash. Go ahead, Callie. Oh yeah, you talked about, right? And you also talked about GoNuts.
npub.cash is a crazy service that is very similar to what I just explained with minibits.cash, the Lightning address, but this one is with not tied to a wallet. And the cool thing about this is it gives every Nostr user a Lightning address, whether they know it or not. So
you're going to have a Lightning address, even if you don't want
it. Yes, and you're going to be happy. and it will spit out nuts at the other end. So your Lightning address right now is your npub at npub.cash. So you can send money to npub, to an npub key at npub.cash. And on the website, there will be Cashew tokens generated waiting for you. And when you go to the website, you log in with your Albi extension, then you see the Satoshis there waiting for you, and you can just withdraw them to your Lightning wallet or to your Cashew wallet.
That's amazing.
Fuck yeah. Just put everything together, especially Nostr and the key, the public key, the private key of Nostr, which, you know, gives you so much flexibility in sending money to people, unlocking contracts with those keys and so on. So we're fully, you know, exploring and going all in into Nostr and eCash.
Very nice.
What kind are the Nostr events encrypted for the eCash?
This is not sent to you via DM, but this one is stored on the server that mints the eCash for you. But in the other case that I explained with Minibits, then it's sent to you via DM, so it's not the normal NIP for encryption of Nostr.
Kali, is there anybody working on a ESP32 eCash wallet?
No, but I think the first person who can do it will have like a spot reserved in the Cypherpunk annals in the big hall next to Halfini and you know, Satoshi Nakamoto. There will be a place just reserved for the person who builds the first eCash mini hardware device with which I can...
Yeah, we really want to... That's part of the Satslink sort of roadmap, is like having eCash in it, because it's there. Anyways, it's perfect.
Oh, that would be perfect, man.
I don't know, like, what cryptographic library do you need?
SegP.
Is it SegP?
That's it. You need SegP, and you need to do multiplication and addition. And if you have that, then
okay,
you can build a Cashew library.
Have you guys ever thought about just forking the quote card edge release that has SegP?
Uh-huh.
Or actually even the main release. Oh, no, you need Schnorr, right? So it needs to be the edge release.
No, you don't need Schnorr. It's like just pure SegP math. You just have to code the equations that we have, basically, and then you're good.
Shit, you could fork the code card source code and load it. It's just unsigned.
and the Sats link, could it send nuts via, I don't know, some radio or Bluetooth or something from one to another?
Yeah, there's going to be Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
All right, then we're literally close to the Star Wars universe where I have killer sticks. And
yeah, I know, it's going to happen. That's the goal. We're gonna Star Wars the fuck out of everything. That's the plan.
All right.
I am so done with phones, dude. Yes, your monetary sovereignty should not be related to a phone. All right, Bunko, a Bitcoin trading platform for facilitates non-interactive swaps among parties, elements, blah, blah, blah. Pleeb dashboard, a dashboard for Lightning Network. Compliance, Ellen Bits extension. That doesn't sound good. All right, Nostr. Software releases and updates. Pablo, we don't have any NDK releases today, so we're not going to talk about it. Just kidding.
No, there.
No!
No, I had enough to Wallet Connect a couple of days ago because I was having trouble with the get all the SDK for Nostr Wallet Connect. So I said, well, fuck it, I'll just write it. So 2.5 is out. It has Nostr Wallet Connect. I also added Nostr Wallet Auth, which, as far as I know, only Mutiny has Nostr Wallet Auth. But the experience is very slick. Nostr Wallet Auth, the client shows you a QR. So
I don't like Nostr Wallet. I do not like those offs. I do not want my sats linked to fucking wallet IDs and shit.
No, but it's good because you're exchanging these private keys through a QR code. So it's all safe and good.
Well, then I like it. Hey, I've got a question. I've got a real question. The Nostr Wallet Connect in NDK, is it for client side or server side, or is it both? Like, could I use this in my Lightning wallet, or do I use this in my Nostr client?
Right now, I only did it for client. So it only supports pay, invoice, get info, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I will to write a backend as well, because there are basically, I think there's one implementation or two implementations of like the server part of the Nostr Wallet Connect. And I want like for anyone to be able to write a Nostr Wallet Connect backend easily. So yeah.
Nice.
So for now, only clients, but I will get to that.
Nice.
Very cool. Primal, Android version 0.93.2, implemented Wallet Bitcoin on-chain support setting. So they're essentially doing feature parity with the iOS wallet, with the iOS app. A really good experience so far. Julian is killing with this. And web app.
The new wallet, it's insane. It's like so fucking good. It's great. It's really, really, really good.
Yeah, I changed my default view from on Primo from the Nostr view to just the wallet view.
I'm not that far gone, but I understand the feeling.
Yeah, no, it just works. It's very nice.
Today I went to the osteopath and I pay with Primal. I pay the osteopath. It's like,
yeah,
so fucking weird pulling out my Nostr client to pay.
Yeah, it totally is. Okay, so notes drafts on the web. That's great. I need it on iOS now too. Moji Picker is good, and a bunch of other improvements. It's, yeah, things are moving there. Coracle, another one that's killing it, version 0.4.1, hide deleted calendar events, show date on calendar events. All the calendar shit is here now, and a bunch of other updates.
It's good. Now you can manage your private private calendar on Nostr with public events.
I was actually talking to Hodobod about, I think the 30053 long form notes that, on top of description, they should really have a incepted optional kind one note that goes in there as well. So that would require two signatures. But what's really cool about that is any client that does not support rendering long form, they can gracefully degrade to showing that because they can, you know, just parse kind one here, right? Like they don't have to understand the rest and display that.
Yeah, I did stuff like that when I started working on Highlighter because there was no highlight nip.
Yes.
I wrote my own kind. I was kind of do the same thing where if you were consuming the content via Highlighter, it would just ignore the other event, but use that kind one as a fallback.
Yes.
Wavlake does kind of the same thing where they created their own kind for music. But when you sub a song, at least this how it used to work. I don't know if they are still doing this. When you would sub the song, it would actually sub the kind one, so it would show up on your feed with all the sats that were subbed. I have mixed feelings about that because it kind of shows kind one as a first class citizen and all the others.
They should be because it is. Hey, no, seriously, like I was reflecting over this quite a bit, and the reason why like Twitter wins so much and it's so important is because, like, you know, everybody creates content or does something, right? They need to advertise that somewhere.
Yep.
Right? And like the public square is the master feed, right? So like most people will sort of advertise their long form content on a kind one note.
Yep.
Right? And that's going to be true for, you know, letting them know about their highlighter OnlyFans profile or whatever it is, right? That's where I think most of the, essentially like the when I mean advertise, I don't mean like the dirty advertise.
Yeah.
Name of the word, but like where the
viewables, you mean?
Exactly. The most.
Yeah.
Where you notify.
We have NIP 31, which is basically like, it's literally an alt tag, like an image, like in HTML, where you cannot see the content because your client doesn't support rendering that content. It's just human readable text.
Yeah.
So you could have a long form, a NIP 23, that has an alt tag that says, this is a long form, blah, blah, blah. And it's like the content that your kind one central client would render. It's just a matter of the client seeing the event.
Yeah, but that's different, right? But see, that's, you're assuming that the clients are smart and there is coordination for that, right?
Yes.
Like, that's why what I want in there is another nesting, right? So like, there is another kind one in there because you find a kind one. Oh, you know, everybody's always going to know how to handle kind one, right? That's now assumed, right? Because that's how the network sort of like grew.
Yeah.
So like, if we can always gracefully degrade to kind one, like, you know, like we have graceful degradation. Like, which is very important when you have, you know, an extremely flexible and extremely rudimentary protocol. You need a place where everybody agrees on something. Anyways, I haven't heard from Fiat Jeff yet. He hasn't shit back or agreed yet on my DM about that one.
he recently nuked his contact list, so he probably doesn't follow you anymore.
Yeah, he did. He did refollow me. I was very happy about that. I will simp for the CEO of Noster. I won't simp for the CTO of Noster, which is Pablo.
I think I got fired because Pierre Chef unfollowed me and he didn't follow me back. So
there you go. What can you do?
I don't know.
You know, he clearly liked my bad ideas. I don't know. Maybe he unfollowed me again. Totally within the realm of reason. I should have I'm going to make an applet on my Mac that notifies me when Fiat Jeff follows me and unfollows me on my nav bar. Like right by the clock. All right. Amethyst version 0.84.1 and version 0.83.13. EncryptSec support, NIP 49.
Yeah, so EncryptSec is like a new Batch32 based scheme to store the private key in an encrypted way that is compatible across a bunch of other clients. So each client has been creating its own standard on how to encrypt the private key locally. Now we have a need for how to move that key if we need to.
The cool thing is this is very easy to migrate because it's just the local encryption of the key has nothing to do with the key itself.
Yeah.
Good. Rust Noster version 0.28.0. Pablo, do you want to mention, do you know anything about it or?
No, I don't.
You're not a Crust fan?
Ben, I think.
Yeah, I contributed a bunch to this. I don't know. The cool thing is, you know, he's added like, he's trying to like monetize the library, which is pretty interesting. He added like a zapping like functionality in there. And then he added it so by default, if you use their zapper, it'll send 2% to the project. And trying to monetize it that way. You know, you can turn it off.
That never ends well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how many people...
Especially when you have other people contributing to the project. You know, you wanna end a open source project, start monetizing it, and then everybody gets angry.
I commend the effort for at least trying, but yeah. I'm curious to see if anyone actually turns that off. But yeah, there's a bunch of other like nice to have. You like reduce the file sizes a bunch, which is nice. I don't remember much else.
Cool.
But, yeah.
Noster version 1.12.0 profile tab for articles, separate profile tabs, and a bunch of other updates.
An amazing client.
Yeah, I do use it for because my main client doesn't support multiple accounts. I use it for Unleashed and for Bitcoin Review. And what, there is one really nice thing I like. It has the turtle option. You can turn it on and go low bandwidth.
Yeah. It's a very good client. It's highly, highly underrated. It's like the Amethyst of iOS. It has a bunch of shit. It's
yeah,
full on experimentation. It's just Like, oh, one more NEEP, let's fucking go.
Not for normies. but it's nice. They do a very decent job. It's nice that there is, you know, options. Yeah. NOS Trudo version 0.38.3. 0x chat version 1.2.6.
NOS Trudo added a bunch of really cool things.
Yeah.
The author is here in Sovereign Engineering. He added OAuth Flow, so the login where you basically just type your Noster address and you log in, or you can create an account just by using like this new OAuth Flow, which is becoming super popular.
What's Nostrudo?
Nostrudo is just a client.
Okay.
It's just it's like an Amethyst for the web.
Okay.
It also has everything. It has a bunch of data vending machines integration you can do.
It has everything except users.
No, it has a bunch of users. It's like a really good client. It has a bunch of data vending machine things. So it has text to speech. So you can click a button and it will read the note to you in using some data vending machine. It has Noster discovery, because you know Noster is fantastic for discovery, as NBK knows. So it you can use like
it's a search engine. It's a search engine. You can give Ben the background on that one later.
It's a really, really, really cool client. Again, not for normies at all.
Okay. Yeah, the DVM stuff, I'm still a little bit confused. And like, how can I offer the AI answers, right? So LLM, like return queries with the DVM without becoming a major Noster client.
No. That's the whole thing, right? Like you literally just run a rec, a Noster filter, and whenever something comes in, you execute some shit on the LLM and get paid, basically. But that's the whole thing. You don't have to create a client. That's the whole point. You just write the code that serves data, and then any client can integrate with your DVM. So Nostrudo is kind of leading the pack here on integrating with different data vending machines. But any client can integrate with any data vending machine, which is what makes it so cool.
So how can I make Unleashed available to Nostrudo for them to offer as DVMs? Then they'll just use our API.
You don't have to do it. Just offer it as a DVM. So there are a bunch of different wrapper services where you just say, call this function for whatever, text to speech, or call this function for chat input. And whenever you get paid, it will call that function, and the output of that function is what gets served. But there are like a bunch of, I wrote the first one, then HuddleBot wrote a different DVM platform where all the protocol coordination is taken care of for you, and you just say, pay 1,000 sats this function, and that's it.
Okay. All right. We'll look into it. 0x chat version 1.2.6. Introducing of Cashew wallet feature. I'm not sure how I feel about 0x chat just conceptually. The idea of group messaging with Noster is just not, no. But it's cool that he accepts Cashew now.
Yeah, so I've tried it out. It was kind of fun. I haven't thought too much about group chats on Noster, but what it allows you to do, like they literally implemented a whole Cashew wallet, which was very surprising to me. And yeah, big respect for that. And you can just drop nuts into the chat, basically. It's something like a tip the channel, and whoever presses the button for the first person can get some of those satoshis. And they have implemented like a faucet that you can press multiple times, and you can just disperse money to the users, basically. And the reason why they want to do it is to also drive some of like the FOMO and social aspect of chatting. And like, I think it's a cool idea to grow the user base, to give them like mini rewards kind of things with a couple of satoshis.
Yeah. That's very cool. Well, I mean, if you want shit to be built, just do it on Noster. The Noster people will deliver like within 2 weeks. Noster version 0.9.7. Improve comments global var and a bunch of things. Plebeian market version 0.0.7. Noster's app version 0.22.0. Project Spotlight, insect.app.
Yeah, it's a project by Arthur from Nosto.band, which implements the same thing Insect Bunker does. It actually uses NDK, so it's like the same code, basically. And it's like an Insect Bunker running on your browser. So if you have a browser with your private key, you can use remote signing from the browser. So yeah, it's NIP46, the remote signing. It's becoming great again. It was a NIP that it was really, really, really poorly written. I got super interested in it back then, like a year ago, and I started using it a lot, but the protocol was really bad. Now we are rewriting the spec to make it understandable and make it make sense. But yeah, I think remote signing is going to come full force into a bunch of Nosto clients, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, copying the private key in a fucking bunch of places, it's a nightmare. I really don't like it. Yeah, it's a good thing. NIP46 is going mainstream now.
how does it work? So could you maybe explain? I imagine you have like your Nosto client on one browser tab, and in the other browser tab you have this insect.app, and they communicate via Nosto.
Yep.
So I want to send a Nosto note and want it signed in my client. I send that over Nosto first to my bunker.
Yep.
Bunker sends it back, and then I publish it. Yeah.
That's right. So the way it works is you connect on some relay that you agree on. So for example, I implemented this on highlighter.com. So if you have, for example, pub.highlighter.com, you check on a special route to which relay you should talk to. And each client has its own key. So it's like a local key for that client. The user never has to see that key because it's kind of ephemeral. And that key is allowed with some kind of permission to get signatures. So then it's kind of like HSM in a way.
It's like a child key only with an option to queue in a previous key.
Yeah. So the other key can be you can say sign only kind once, for example, or sign only kind once for the next 1 hour. You know, you can have any policy that you want, and all the communication is obviously encrypted in the way. And yeah, the bunker gives you back the signature for the event that you want.
I didn't realize that it also ran on Nosto, which makes completely sense.
Yeah.
Obviously in hindsight, and it's fucking amazing.
If you're a Nosto to publish on Nosto, might as well use Nosto.
No, and the cool thing is that you get hole punching. You get hole punching for free, right?
What are IPs? I don't care. Like
exactly.
Sent to NPUB.
NPUBs are the new IP. I'm the IP now.
but you know, like this really highlight like the whole point of Nosto, right? Like, which is this, like once you're in it, like you don't really have to go use DNS anymore.
Yep.
Right? You don't have to use IP. You can just, you know, you keep the pipe open and that's it, right?
That's right.
And what's interesting is we're going to see every other use case eventually using the use case that we're using now for signing the use case. You know, it's kind of like the promise of original Lightning message, right? That like costs money.
Yeah, totally. Now the guy from Nostril, I don't know if his name is public, so he packaged the Insect Bunker code into a Start9 or StartOS or whatever it's called. Container. So now you can one-click install in your Start9, you can install Insect Bunker. And whenever you want to sign, you just say, with my pub key, I want a signature for this event. And if your client is authorized, if you have previously authorized your client, you get a signature. It's magic.
Dude, we have to make every single client support this. Like, why don't I see this everywhere? It's just, you know, I don't want to put my keys anywhere, please.
Because this is harder.
Yeah.
Me too. I've been pushing on NIP46. I think the main problem that we had is that the way NIP46 was written was really, really, really bad. The protocol flow was backwards. So we are rewriting it with the current implement, like using the flow of Insect Bunker. I think in 6 months, we're going to see a lot of this flow everywhere.
Yeah. I know we're waiting once we start seeing keys being signed as lost.
I want that. Like, I would literally rotate my key today if I could. Like, I would immediately just get rid of my old key.
No, so this is the cool thing. Like, this was designed so that you can use your key that you have now as the new parent key for new keys. So you don't have to create a new identity.
That's a different NIP. That's NIP 41, which
I know, but when?
Now we need the politics. Now we need the influencers to politic and getting past.
Yeah, I am not giving you my master key on NSAC Bunker yet. So yeah, so Toonster. See, I thought we were already there, Pablo.
It's moving.
I haven't been following.
It's moving. It's moving, but it's going to take a lot of politics to go through.
We just need the CEO to send a memo.
There you go.
A note. We should definitely have a kind memo. That it needs to be formatted like a traditional 1960s memo. That'll be fantastic. Toonster. Value for value live music. That's cool. Resolver. Decentralized education for an escrow for free open source of development bounties. Okay. Why Noster? Proof of concept for collaborative document editing on Noster. As long as the document is public, it's okay. Don't do private things on Noster, people, please.
Nope.
There is no privacy, like no forward privacy on Noster yet.
It doesn't. Why Noster doesn't even pretend to support encryption. So yeah, it's a cool idea. I mean, I was playing with it. I was thinking, how bad would it feel like to just simply publish every keystroke at an event? The first implementation actually sends the full payload, like not even a delta.
And then they do diff.
And then the second version, that's a diff, which is like a breakthrough experience. It's actually really fast. And I was... We were working on NIP 46 using Why Noster to collaborate. It turned into a chat interface, basically, on a document. So it's like Google Wave, basically.
Yeah. I mean, Noster is Google Wave.
100%.
No, but the interesting part here is once we have Noster Git, which is coming.
It's coming.
Then all the stuff gets sort of like deprecated, right? Because remember when we were organizing Nostrica? We had a Google Docs that was open to everyone. Like, it's actually very useful to have public. If you don't care that the document is public, it's great.
Yeah, for the Why Noster stuff, as I was working on it, I realized that it was it had like a very cool gimmicky thing, because when you create a document, you invite editors, right? So you say this pub key, this pub key, this pub key, and those are the editors.
Right.
Really, editor means I am watching for changes from these people.
Yes.
There is nothing preventing you from saying, I am watching for changes to this document.
Yeah.
Right? So, exactly. And then you can have multiple people having different forks, and you can say, oh, I'm going to ignore this guy, ignore this guy. I'm going to pay attention to these three people. And I might start with one document. You make some changes. I don't accept your changes. And the moment that you're working on the document, you immediately already have a fork signed with your key. So it creates like a very, like for a Wikipedia style, which is probably where I'm going to take it. It creates like a very cool mechanic where there is no canonical, you know.
So there is this very cool thing called Git. You know, it's a fantastic way for you to find consensus.
Is that the GitHub thing?
Yeah. It's a fantastic way for you to find consensus in a decentralized manner and have version control. Imagine if we use Git, which works and is fantastic, for exactly this, and then you just choose which branch you want to merge stuff to.
Totally. I mean, we already have NIP 34, which is a very new NIP for Git, specifically for Git. So there's a bunch of repos already being published and accepting patches. We still need to work on the tooling, of course, but it's coming.
So how do you integrate the Noster Git with OnlyFans, Pablo?
I don't know. There's like a bunch of sexual innuendo. I don't know which direction to take it.
Okay. All right. Satcom, collaborative layer for internet announcement. I don't know anything about this.
Oh, yeah. This is the Jingle thing. Yeah. This basically is an extension that just runs on your browser and it fetches events that are tagging the URL of the that you're visiting. And it shows you it shows you information about, you know, whatever someone typed about that URL. You can do like a chat widget on any URL, basically.
Cool. All right. Any other updates that I might have forgotten?
Probably only like 200 different updates in the past day.
Anything worthy of mentioning before I move to Boosts?
Yeah, no Noster update, but I just saw it. Wasabi released a new beta with a bunch of things, but I cannot find the announcement. Oh, yeah. 2.0.6 release candidate 1. It has a bunch of things. Check it out.
That's the way. All right, Boosts. Ace Mithrandir, Craig Rods, the true Craig from now on. I like that. Juan's Gout. That was an excellent as always. QXOTK at NVK. Just say QX. Thank you all for the sleep. Vic, I'm confused. Why is there no ETF discussion on this show?
It's a very valid point.
So let me explain to you ETFs.
It's okay. I already watched Rabbit Hole Recap and it covered all the fiat stuff.
That's the fiat show. This is the Bitcoin only show. And the only thing I care about Bitcoin ETFs is on Bitcoin treasuries.net. It's the leaderboard because that's how the cycles work. And I want the cycles to buy all the Bitcoin. Great. All right. User 30, 39, 41, 72. If we get Upcat before vaults, I'm flipping every table. Last time I was kidding, but now it might really happen. What the fuck is going on? Dude, get off Twitter. Really. I mean, like, Twitter is only good. It's a lot of fun. I love it. If you can separate reality from Bitcoin Twitter. Okay, it's a lot of fun. You dunk on people, you know, you pump the price, you say some stupid shit, you know, you shit on Raspberry Pis, right? But then you get out of it, and then there's reality. At Mix, the app don't work very well outside the cities either. Even in first world countries, just had to wait 15 minutes to get service after that zone to send is ha ha ha. So yes, I think Fountain and also all the Noster apps, they need to move all their development teams to a global south kind of country and try to work with 3G internet for development. And then they will understand that nothing fucking works.
That's why my connection during the podcast is dropping off every 20 seconds.
Because you're coding.
I have a cron job that just shuts off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, because like, dude, like, you know, all your cute JavaScript things that do 50 callbacks so that you can move the pixel width on something. Okay, yeah, that's not good. All right. Bitcoin Uptech newsletter. Is there anything on Bitcoin Core that we want to mention? Purely opening zero-conf channels with version 3 transactions.
Yeah, the V3 is the big thing.
The DNS sec stuff I don't like. What else? I don't know. Anything here you guys want to mention?
I mean, the V3 stuff being merged is huge. I mean, we'll see like how long it actually takes to get into like protocols, but the fact that it's happening now is good to see after like years of discussion.
All right. I mean, Bitcoin Core is endless. It should be its own show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. There is one. Optech. A newsletter and a pod. All right. News and noteworthy. Privacy. Oh, yeah. So Apple is banning PWAs in Europe.
Yep.
God. Insufferable. Insufferable. It's just to retaliate, right? Because the European Union is making them open the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, their excuse was like, oh, since we're allowing other browsers, we can't make sure those browsers are secure.
Yeah.
So we're just not going to allow it, which, like, total cop-out. Yeah, like, I mean.
But, you know, it's not fully untrue either, eh?
Sour bitch move, literally. This is something to shoot themselves in the foot to make everyone suffer for a bit, and then they will have to revert. Like, mark my words.
No, so here's, yeah, keep one thing in mind, though. And I feel like devs, like, often, especially open source people, don't realize this. But most people don't want freedom because, you know, the responsibility of checking fucking apps before you download them, it's too much. It really is. Like most people just want to download from a fucking, you know, walled garden and not have to worry about things. Like, it's a very reasonable, like, approach to life, you know? Like, it's just not my preference, but, you know, and the guarantees and the reputation of a company like Apple come from that, too. It's like, look, you have these devices, and if you use it our way, right, you don't get hacked. And it's true. You don't. Like, I mean, it is remarkable, right? Like, if you're running your Mac and your phone on lockdown mode and everything, like, that's it. Like, you don't get hacked. And like, you know, they invented the lockdown mode because celebrities were losing themselves, by themselves, their nudes, right? So they created the lockdown mode so the celebrities can't share their nudes in a shared library. They have to send via SMS. But like, they're preventing even ultra-high-profile people from getting hacked. That's, like, a huge fucking achievement. But that comes with, like, being fully cucked, right? It's, everything is now without trade-offs.
So if you're in jail, you can't be hacked.
Kind of, yeah. All right, development. Matt Corallo proposes BIP resolves human-readable names into payments. I find this, like, idiotic, completely uninteresting. I don't know. How do you guys feel about this BIP?
In my understanding, it's like, you know, everyone hates the current Lightning address because you have to run an HTTP server and, like, you dox your IP address, so...
I don't hate it, but it's not everyone. Just...
Okay.
I don't hate it. Like, many people do, but not everyone.
I agree.
Like, this is supposed to be, like, a more Galaxy Brain version of it that's...
It's not. It's a fucking field on DNS.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It is as fucked, but now you have a centralized authority that can fuck. Like, it's just... Anyways, like,
well, you have the same problem with the current Lightning address. Like, it's still also DNS, but this is like, you know, you don't need an HTTP server, which is very nice.
And with this, we'll also have problems with updating the fields, and they will propagate differently to different parts of the world. And if you have an on-chain address there, then you will get wrecked because when you rotate the address, then someone knows about it and someone doesn't. So this will also introduce many new problems.
Yep.
Kind of agree that you get rid of the server, but that's the thing that you actually control, right? So
it feels like a joke.
What people spread thoughts of about in LNURL is that you don't control the domain and they could just redirect the request to any other Lightning node. Yeah, sure, that's true, but this doesn't solve it. And I mean,
no.
You could also do additional checks on the invoice, and you could also just use Noster, for example, instead of IP. Just send it to an end pub.
Yeah. What people don't get is that, like, at least servers have IPs.
Yes.
You know, which is behind DNS. DNS is one layer above. Mm-hmm. You know, it is less control and less flexibility. Anyways, it's not great. Bitcoin dev mailing list moves to groups. Nobody's posting there.
Google groups.
It's not going to happen. We need email. Mentioned many times, I don't like delving Bitcoin because it's just a forum, and forums require benevolent dictators, and then we're going to end up with Tamas again.
Oh, look at the chat.
Oh, Justin, just breaking, breaking. I haven't even read it, but breaking news. Bitcoin, custodial Bitcoin, Lightning wallet, Exodus is shutting down operations in the U.S. due to regulation reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, that's expected of every Lightning thing that is not fully KYC. Then
yeah, but Exodus is like a really, really, really big wallet. It's like 10x Trezor. Yeah, it's a huge. I didn't know it existed. I met one of the a person that works there, and it's like a 50-person team just working on a wallet. It has a bunch of shitcoins and a bunch of things.
Oh, that's why. It's because it's shitcoins. That's why I never paid attention to it.
Yeah, it doesn't enter our circle.
Well, the screenshot says Lightning unavailable in the United States, withdraw funds. Our Lightning provider is no longer available in the United States due to regulatory reasons.
The CEO of Bitcoin have shut down Lightning.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they use Wallet Satoshi in the back end. So it's just...
Well, that explains.
Oh, here we go.
That's why. What else? Thanks, Johnny. I always wanted to break news on the show. No, but really, It would be, would have sucked to not have covered that. All right, Summer of Bitcoin 2024 is happening. Bitcoin Film Festival is happening.
What?
I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand anymore. I'm such a boomer. What else? Let me just check here my DMs, see if there's anything that is breaking. No. Right. Reads. There's a few blog posts that are worth reading. And, oh, Jesus Christ. His audience question is way too long. That's a million sets tip there to read this. All right, guys. Any other things we forgot, didn't talk about, you want to bring up? No?
No, we're looking for devs. If you're looking for stuff to do in Bitcoin, hit us up. Cashew Devs will hold your hands and show you the nuts. Please contribute wherever you like to contribute. If it's not Cashew, contribute somewhere else.
Open your hands. They'll put the nuts in your hands.
Fuck yeah. If you can code, we need you.
Awesome. Yeah, so if you're an ESP32 person looking into net spreading, I think we should talk, and you should talk to them. I think that is the future. This was fantastic. Any final thoughts, Mr. Ben?
Bullish on everything.
That sounded very bullish.
I aim to please.
You really broke the microphone on that one. I mean, you know, I can see the moon happening just because of that. Mr. Pablo.
Yeah, I'm going to try to top that. Bullshit on everything.
Bullshit on everything. Good. I see you guys are all drunk on some of that, what is it, 1% increase in price over 24 hours. Mr. Kali.
Fuck the price. Let's keep building stuff. So
yeah, there you go.
Don't get distracted. The bull market will make everything worse for us devs again. So better start now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This was awesome. I'm happy we covered a lot of cashew stuff. We should actually do a panel on that again. I think there is a lot that I've sort of slipped through the cracks and I haven't followed because don't have time to follow L3 closely.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we are hiring a web designer who must be really good and not like nannies. It really is a simple job description. You have to be able to code your own HTML But we do the JavaScript. Don't worry about it. It's just HTML, CSS, because you have to deliver your own shit. But yes. And that's it, guys. As Levera would say, I'll see you in the Citadels.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, check the show notes. We put a lot of effort into them. And remember, we don't have a crystal ball, so let us know about your project. Visit bitcoin.review to find out how to get in touch.